heard of.
Okay, you're on. Good afternoon. This is our discussion session. It is May 13th at 1 p.m. and we've already had an interesting morning, so we're just continuing with a very busy day today. And this is being audio recorded, and we will get started because I think we have quite a few things other than what's just listed on the agenda. So, Ms. Simchick, you're first. Do you have an item? Or you want us to come back to you, or what?
Just a quick discussion. I would just ask the superintendent to go over, and I'd asked earlier, maybe some of the protocols for the public access for, like, recruiters and things. I had some constituents email me about the mock DUI and mm-hmm. things like that. Although they thought it was a very good event, mm-hmm. was concerned about what is the policy of coming in, so I said I would ask mm-hmm. and bring it up and at our discussion for, you know, particularly in the high schools when they're doing recruiters. I know there's, like, maybe a career night where everybody would be,
right.
that would be a known issue and it may be advertised. Mm-hmm. But how do we handle some of these incidents or activities or events mm-hmm. that occur where parents may, which as I said, the one particular person, mm-hmm. thought it was a good event, but wanted to know why they weren't notified.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what to say about that, but I was just curious and thought maybe if you had that public discussion, yeah. it would help me and maybe others.
I think it's not a policy, but it certainly would be considered a procedure to follow to try and keep parents informed of events that their child is going to be involved in outside of, like, the regular classroom type of things. And we've had a couple of things happen recently that fall in that same category. One is the mock DUI, okay? And I know at one high school that the parents received a Connect Ed call. At the other high school, was done informally. So it was not a direct contact with parents. It's something that we've done for years and years, but my child is seeing it this year, and so I think it's procedure to contact parents when we're having those type of events. A second one just occurred. Actually, we heard from a couple of parents, so you may hear about it. Actually, they had a first responders assembly at Freshman Learning Center. And so it was also put on by SAD and the groups, and so it was another occasion where students were pulled out of the classroom into a setting where they saw some graphic pictures, if you will. You know, the idea is to keep kids safe, but in that. So I actually just talked to Mr. O'Keefe about it because it was at Verbeach High School, and he agreed that the same protocol that he did for mock DUI, because he hadn't seen he was there. He hadn't seen the presentation himself. He had talked with the SAD director about, please be sure that we're not, you know. But he said that, you know, there were things, he said, if I was a parent, I would want to know. So I think those are procedures that we can continue to remind people about so that parents aren't surprised by, you know, those kinds of activities, as well-intended as they are. The second thing with there's a procedure for recruiters, and we've actually talked about that here before. A recruiter can be on the campus, can be in a building, but a student, parents know that they are not there to, they can't bring a student in. A student is not invited in by the recruiter. There's knowledge that the recruiter is going to be on campus, and it's a choice of the student going to, they may be in a room, they may be somewhere where the student makes the choice of whether they go to visit the recruiter. There's no, either, you know what I mean, there's no call. It's all voluntary on the part of the student to go. They're not invited to go.
Okay.
So we're sensitive to that.
Excuse me, the agendas are in the back of the room. Not if you put that back, please.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you
want to
see what we can find?
I got some paper.
Okay. If you would.
Thank you very much.
My word.
I just want to make sure you knew the agenda was in the back.
So those are a couple of things that we have to remind people. You know, don't forget to follow these procedures that we have. And we actually, the mock DUI and the first responder just came up. So it's a reminder.
Yes, Mr. Manson.
When you spoke about how the
kids were let known or the parents were let mm-hmm. known, you said that it was done informally. What does that mean? Is that just word of mouth? That's
Yeah, the students, you know, next week is the mock DUI. It's on the event schedule.
Right. Okay, so
you know, I mean, it's planned in advance, probably a year in advance when they're going to do it. Every year it's something that the one group of students is invited to attend. So, you know, that kind of thing. It is scheduled. It's out there. But there was no personal contact to the parent to let them know that it was going to happen at this particular time.
And the recruiters are word of mouth, too? Or does a letter go home to the parent saying, you know, we're going to have recruiters just so the parents know for their information? Or is that also word of mouth?
Actually, I think that's in the parent handbook gets changed and modified every year. So that particular information is written.
Additional comments, Ms. Disney?
Yeah, I think it's a struggle to communicate with parents, especially at that age level, because we are trying to foster some personal responsibility with students. You know,
right.
You need to tell your parents. We don't stuff their backpack like we do when they're little.
Right.
But at the same time, there are parents out there that feel very strongly that we are imposing or infringing on their parental decisions by exposing their students to some things that they may have chosen not to do. So I don't know what the answer is about communication. I know that the phone connect is becoming less and less popular as more and more people go to cell phones rather than home phones. So I guess at the beginning of the year we have them fill out those contact cards.
Right.
But I don't know that email is the option. You can use that as your option, but your desired way to be contacted, which we may need to look at that on those cards. Because I think there are a lot of parents who carry their phones. They have them at work. They can't talk on the phones, but if they sneak a peek at their email, they'll know what's happening at the school. So we may need to look at the way we allow parents to provide their information, because that might be their first choice rather than a phone call. And our generation doesn't think of that as being, you know, we think of phones as the first choice, but the kids certainly
think of texting.
Don't. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not an easy answer. It's getting everybody's number or email and texting, you know what I mean? There actually has been discussion around that from a couple of different schools asking about that, and it's difficult to. Everybody has a different, you know, so the challenge is trying to get to everybody in a timely manner, and but I don't disagree. That's why tweeting is another way to get information out, you know, kind of in a more real-time type of thing. But I think you have to keep examining what those, you know, ways are.
It doesn't take any more time to get the information out.
It's just the setup.
You had to set up
right.
The phone numbers and the
email address.
Have to get the email addresses in. But I think once it's done, that you'll have your parents.
And my concern about the recruiter is that we do have a lot of high school students that turn 18 that are legal to sign their own name
mm-hmm.
for service. And, you know, the parents, the anticipated heartbreak that a kid comes home and he's been solicited. Even if the actual transaction doesn't take place on campus, they've been solicited at school, and then they ran down and signed up, and you know what I'm saying? So that was just a concern.
Sure.
And actually, that was a thought when these mm-hmm. Questions came in.
And that has come up before.
Yes. Yeah. So thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, I mean, there's no easy way to do this. I mean, we get criticized for the time we call. You know, what's the best time to call? And so there are, I think, continuing to think of easier, better ways is always the way to go. But it is a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Ms. Lee.
Do we know what other school districts do? I mean, I know that there are some people that are pushing the texting, because even emails.
Mm-hmm.
People get so many emails, but text, you know, you're in a meeting, it's a short text, it's to the point, but then again, it's the complexity. If it's not a smartphone, you can have the number, but it's not, you know, some of them don't text.
And
but
cell phone
do any school districts
quickly.
Do that? Are we aware of
I'm not doesn't mean that others haven't, you know, looked into that, but I think it's always something that you need to take it, you know.
Well, I know in Orange County, that's one of the things that my daughter encountered was the fact that, well, she's in a tough school, but over half of her 120 kids, she has no contact information for at all. And she actually has 3 kids that there's not even an address for anywhere in the school for the child. There's no address at all on any records. It's a correct address. Let me rephrase that. So she had parents. She was, and unless the child was responsible enough for them to take a message home, she couldn't get parents. She could not get parents to come in. And I think that we also have a good number of parents who they may have those devices, but they're not giving that information. And I'm saying locally, they're not giving that information. And I think there's probably more of that than we realize. They don't want that contact information. One thing with cell phones is that doesn't come with a physical address anywhere. That's non-existent. And with the economy and the privacy that some adults try to find in their lives, I think that's part of the issue too. So, you know, even though they may have the ability for texting, they may have the ability for email, they may have the ability for those kinds of contacts. You know, unless they take the initiative to get on, it doesn't necessarily mean unless they take the initiative to get on, see what's going on Twitter for, you know, certain schools or the district. And they're just not going to get that information. Especially with those age kids, just as you started.
I'd like to say 2 things. Is you're not getting a big response, but some people ask very pointed questions, and they are important questions. But if you're hearing from many, many people that they're not getting communicated with, that's important. It's okay to ask pointed questions as well, because it makes you think, you know. Mm-hmm. But I do think that it's, you know, that needs to be considered. And the second thing I'd like to say is what Mrs. Johnson has said. At one school, we have had a turnover of 200 children out of a school of 450. That is amazing. And so trying to keep current on people who are very mobile today, because poverty, that's right. What it's about. You know, I mean, that is a difficult thing. So I think we're always challenged. It doesn't mean we don't keep looking for better ways, but those are the kind of challenges that you do face.
So we came up with no answer whatsoever, except that we're going to try to do a better job of that. The other thing is, and this is probably not the place for this discussion, but when we consider that, you know, we talk about our high schools, and I started to ask, but I thought it sounded too flip when you said at the Freshman Learning Center. Well, we actually have 2 Freshman Learning Centers. Well, if you look at the one in Sebastian, I mean, that's what we've been calling it, is the Sebastian Freshman Learning Center. So we need to, but there needs to be, and I am a huge advocate for school-based decisions being made. I am, absolutely, always have been. When I worked in the school, more so than I am now, but definitely I'm an advocate for that. But I do think there needs to be some continuity, especially when these are issues that even if only a couple of people have responded to, we need to, and that actually I'll get into with another item that I have, but I think some of that needs to be driven from the top as far as what expectations. Again, expectations can still leave flexibility, but expectations need to be there.
Communicate with both principals.
So, yes, Ms. Dizzy.
Well, I actually wouldn't say we didn't get anywhere, because I got somewhere with this, and that's that when I got that email about dinner time, I thought to myself, yeah, why do we have to do it at dinner time? And as we're talking, I'm realizing, because every hour is somebody's dinner time.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, pick an hour between 4 p.m. and 10 p.m. and somebody's having dinner.
Right,
so there isn't an answer to not doing it at dinner time. And also when you mentioned the book that's given out, the Code of Conduct, and the other places where that information resides, that came out in August, and it's May, and so that's probably buried somewhere by now.
Right.
But the information is in there that the recruiters will be there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that is helpful to me, too, is that, you know, that handbook that is given out is not just for August, it's for the whole year. So you want to keep it as a reference.
And just as a follow-up to that, one of the other things that parents can do, so you know, is they can do an opt-out where they do not want their child contacted by any, through mail or anything. I mean, because recruiters do get, armed services do get access to, but there is an opt-out form for parents that they can fill out to say, I do not want my child or my family to receive that information.
And Dr. Adams, you need to speak into the microphone.
Oh, sorry.
We only have audio recording, so.
Okay.
Yes, Ms. Adams.
Is that opt-out form included in the handbook?
Yes.
Parents get?
Yes, sir. And it's also online.
Well, and also remember, we had, not too long ago, we had a parent who came to the podium and stood there with a newsletter in one hand and a statement of they had gotten a Connect Ed and the newsletter about an issue. And then the last statement that person made was, so why wasn't I informed about this? And they were standing there with two pieces of communication, but they didn't feel as though they were had enough information that was regarding the testing setup. So, you know, it just depends on where you stand and as to how you feel things are being done. So, okay, thank you, Ms. Simchick. Chairman Johnson, again, I'll warn you, I have... Oh, did you have a...
No, I thought Ms. Disney...
Oh, Ms. Disney is next.
That's fine, you should please proceed.
You're looking at my list, aren't you? Looking at my list. See, we are even seated now, so Mrs. Johnson doesn't forget that. But you will be next. Ms. Disney, please go ahead.
I've been out sick. Okay.
You're making me feel good. What you're thinking of? We need to talk just a tiny bit because we did have another impasse hearing. And hearings in general, you have before you a copy of the resolution that we were mandated to have, but we were way ahead of the game because we have had our procedures and protocols for set up procedures and protocols for whether meetings will be televised, whether they will be audio recorded, video recorded, all of that. And even though we did have, or the chairman at least, received two requests for were we going to be live, or were we going to be... The two requests were, are we going to be broadcast live for yesterday's impasse hearing? And the other was, well, this time you're going to do a video recording. And the answer to that was no. I mean, we cannot go against what our resolution was. So I thought it was appropriate, rather than ignoring those requests, I would bring it before the board one more time. And let me tell you that we're very specific. The state requested this. And as I said, we already had this matrix done for many years. Before they decided in their infinite wisdom that we had to do one and send to them, we were already for them. So we did have, if you look at the third category, quasi-judicial school board meetings, which is terminations and union impasse hearings, it is audio recorded and posted to the website. If you want to readdress that, you can. I'm going to give my 25 cents worth first because it's my items. I have a great concern if we're going to take quasi-judicial school board meetings of any kind, special meetings. I have concern for especially the employee terminations. I really do. I mean, it's already a difficult situation. I for one, am not comfortable with putting someone in a setting where it is being video recorded or live broadcast. It bothers me. I'm not saying that these are not worthy of our consideration and our action. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is I take exception to just making it even worse for an employee when it comes to any kind of termination. I'm just not comfortable with that. So that's my concern, but I felt that I needed to bring it before the board so that we can clarify this because we've had two pretty close together and two impasse hearings pretty close together. And I just wanted my fellow board members' input before we left things the way they are or we go with a new resolution with a change or any other changes that, having dealt with this now, maybe you might want to make. So, any board input?
Yeah, my only contribution to that, I totally agree with the terminations, but I think the impasse impacts so many. It's about it's going to impact the teachers. And that's a lot of teachers and a lot of staff that is bound by the contract, and they can't all be here. So because it affects so many people, I would not be averse to that specific type of hearing being videoed. But I read the terminations. I personally feel it would be inappropriate. That's just my two cents.
Okay. All right. Mr. McCain?
No.
What was this?
That was me looking at my pencil, my pen.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm trying to figure out what SBDC is. But go ahead.
School Board of IRC?
I wouldn't be opposed to seeing them in past hearings being videotaped because they're taping them anyway. So, or I had noticed at the union's taping it. My question would be, does that impose on staff? But, you know, for transparency, I don't have a problem with. I do have a problem with the terminations. But, you know, I mean, this is in place, and for now, if because I'm looking at the date, November. Is this something you review every year? Like, will this be reviewed again in November?
Well, it should be reviewed every year, but we actually did this because it was mandated mm-hmm. by the state legislature. So we adopted it as a resolution because that's what last year's... Was it last year?
Mm-hmm.
Year before last.
No, it was part of your policies. When you went through your policy revisions, it was a provision in your new policies that required some sort of a decision on how to do it.
We, for clarification, we would need a resolution to change this?
You would just revise this resolution.
Right.
The resolution on the first page says you annually review.
Right.
To be sure that it's still appropriate for whatever you're doing now. Board members change, you know, philosophies change,
yeah.
and so you review it annually. A resolution is simply a board agenda item.
Yeah, right.
Doesn't require a public hearing or, you know, any kind of special public notice.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an agenda item, so it can be amended at any time on a regular, you know, action agenda item.
So I would like to think on that.
Okay.
Upon review, in November or whenever this, it looks like it'll be November.
Okay. Well, the reason why I was bringing this up now is because we don't know what's going to happen with the ratification, and if we move into 14-15 bargaining, it could go fast, it could go slow, but you might end up with something where you need to take some action before November as to what you're doing. And there's a difference between video recording and live broadcast. So you can wait till November on the annual, but I just want to bring it up again because I think we need to have some sort of discussion on that.
So are you in favor? Is that why you're bringing it up?
I'm bringing it up because it was asked of the chairman.
Okay.
It was asked by two different people of the chairman if we were doing a video recording, and the chairman was also asked by a member of the community why it was not being broadcast live. And I said, because we have a resolution, we have a policy, it's in place, and the chairman does not make that decision. And I guess three different people referred to the chairman, so somehow the chairman became
okay.
I don't do anything that you all don't approve of, so... but I gave my thoughts on employee terminations because I feel very strongly about that. I assumed you were talking about live broadcast and you were talking about video recording.
I wanted clarification because when we look at the way this says recording, the two options here are audio and posted, no recorded, and televised. So what do we mean by televised? When we say televised, are we saying live stream with recording that is archived? That's the way I interpret that. Is there yet a fourth interpretation of what can happen in this column? Because you said that there was a difference between live and recording. So I think this would be a perfect time for us to have clarity. When it says televised, does that mean live? Live and an archive recording,
just the same as our
so there's
the same as our school board meetings.
Okay.
Our school board meetings are broadcast live,
okay.
and they are archived in that great vault up in the sky somewhere.
So then when I spoke and Ms. Simpson spoke, we were talking about the same thing.
technically, because it's televised, streamed, and then recorded.
Yes. Mm-hmm. She mentions, you mentioned, I got your feeling as live broadcast, hers, she said video recorded.
Right.
That does not mean that it's live broadcast.
And again, I'm not sure, I'm not opposed to it, but, you know, I think that I have time. I'd rather give it a full year to review, but that I'm open to changing. We'll see.
Thank you. Ms. Bisbee?
I'd like to keep it like it is and then just consider a change. You know, think about it and bring it up if you want to do it.
So. Okay. Right. So if you'll make a note, Ms. Fang, that interest is going to be revisited in November. Okay. And Ms. Amendment.
So I put down as one of my items, I'll go with restorative justice for 500. I just wanted to bring this topic up. I was looking at some of my notes about things that I wanted to follow up on. And on February 21st of 2013, we had a workshop here in the school district, which included numerous community members about disproportionate minority contact. And one of the things that was brought up was the concept of restorative justice. And at that meeting, I handed out an article to all the board members and to the staff about restorative justice. And I just wanted to just share a little bit of that with you just to kind of remind us what this is about. And so, I'm just going to read a couple of things. A body of research indicates that lost class time due to suspension and expulsion results in alienation and often early involvement with the juvenile justice system. Many studies have concluded that zero tolerance policies do not make schools safer. This is one particular community, and this is a quote from that community. And it says, we have not done very much around teaching kids alternatives to conflict that escalates into violence. And they interview a student who participated in restorative justice who said, I didn't know how to express emotions with my mouth. I knew how to hit people. I feel I can now go to someone and talk to them. So restorative justice is a way of working with children that have problem behavior, make bad choices in a way that is not punitive, with the goal of trying to rehabilitate instead of punish, so those kids can stay focused, can stay in school. And of course, it's not something that if you were to use a restorative justice model that tomorrow the world would be great and all kids would be perfect, because it's a multi-year process and your staff has to buy into it and you have to do training. So at that workshop, we actually looked at some of the data and saw where we stood as a school district. And subsequently, at our November or October session where the staff presented the most current data, I took notes that the school district is working towards incorporating restorative justice into how they deal with students. And as a result of the expulsion hearing we had and the outcome of that, I personally believe that if we had had some kind of a restorative justice system in place, we could have helped this child a little bit more before. Not saying that this is the district's fault. It is never the school district's fault when a child comes from poverty, has issues, or whatever. It's not the school district's fault. But the question I'm asking is, what can we do better? We do a lot of wonderful things, but, you know, wonderful is never the end all. There are always things that we can do better. So I was just wanting to know where we stand with restorative justice for our students. And I also mentioned this to Dr. Adams. You know, this is an opportunity. We're seeing a transition in leadership at our alternative center, which currently serves about 50 students. And this could be an opportunity to revisit how we work with students there and explore any opportunities for, again, taking something that is working for students and taking it up a notch.
which is, again, not to say that it's not working. It's a continuous improvement. A lot of businesses use the continuous improvement model, and it's not about beating yourself up. It's about challenging yourself. How can I do what I'm doing better? So my question to the fellow board members is there any interest by this board in requesting an update on what's happening with restorative justice, requesting maybe that we look at how we work with the ACE? And then I would add to that, when we left that workshop that was done in February, some of our staff actually went to Charlotte County and visited a school and explored how they deal with their youth, and they saw some really neat ideas and some successful projects. And I was looking on the internet and visiting sites from different districts in Florida, and there are quite a few programs out there. So it's not like we'd be reinventing the wheel, but there's a lot that we can learn from best practice. So is there an interest in a workshop to follow up on restorative justice? Is there a willingness to revisit what we do in ACE? And then is there an opportunity to hear from what people that went to Charlotte County learned so the board can be informed?
Dr. Adams said she'd like to answer before board members, if you don't mind.
Yeah. In terms of restorative justice, and I'll go back to the Charlotte County meeting because there were a couple of things that were brought back from that. And one is the idea of the restorative justice, and secondly, which also came through some of the discussion here, and also we are students who have a first-time event with drugs. We have a program called ASAP, and we would take the student out of school, then they would go to alternative ed for a two-week program and then go back. And what we've done with that program is we do it on-site now at the high schools, and we do it after school so that the student doesn't have to move out of their home school into another school and miss the classes. Okay, there is a suspension that goes with that because it is a drug event, but they are not put in another school. So that was another idea that actually came back from Charlotte County.
So it's ISS.
It's done after hours.
Okay.
It's not really an in-school suspension.
Okay.
It's
okay.
done
Different.
After hours
okay.
or on the weekend. Okay, and the parents are required to come to that.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is on the restorative justice is we did follow up with that and did a presentation with the principals. Dr. Mara Schiff came to the principals' meeting and presented the information to the principals. And like Mrs. Jimenez said, you know, we are kind of beyond the time where we can impose one more thing on schools, but we can open up opportunities and say, and I really believe that's what Earful is about, is establishing those relationships, building student self-efficacy, and restorative justice is one of those ways that you can do that. So she presented to the principals. The middle school principals in particular were interested in more information, and I think middle school is a great place to start this type of a program. So she has presented a training program. They have talked about training, and she really has outlined what the training would be. And the school district, through student support services, has identified a core group of people in middle schools that they think could be trained initially, just so they have a better understanding as what does this mean? How does this impact our school? What are we going to have to do as a result of implementing restorative justice? So they are really trying to schedule that before school's out, because some of the people that would be involved in this are 11-month employees, so they want to do that. And then from there, they take it to their site to say, because it involves faculty, this is something that you put that is a belief system and interventions and the way you work in your school, is taking it back to their staff and say, here's something that we are interested in doing, we want to talk to you about it, here's what it means in terms of training for the entire school. So we have moved ahead with the principals. We are now talking about having a core group of middle school team trained, and then they take it back to their school to see if their school is interested, because it is, it's an in-depth training. It's just not a presentation. It's about how you're going to, you know, it's about changing some of the culture within your school in terms of how you're going to deal with issues. And so I feel like the interest that we have right now is a positive sign. I appreciate the fact that Dr. Torres Martinez has moved ahead. They are also looking at a grant. You don't get this for nothing. You know what I mean? It does take training. The goal would be to have her as a coach. There is a cost per day to do that. So if these schools are interested, then she would be willing to work with Dr. Torres Martinez and others to see if there are some grants available that could help support this. So there's a lot being done right now to, you know, move this ahead. But again, it's not to say you have to do it, but we think it's good for kids. We think it's in line with what we're trying to do in terms of getting students, you know, to buy into and feel better about the school and feel confident and change the culture within the school. So, there's moving ahead. Okay.
Thank you. And any thoughts? Sorry. The Charlotte County program, is that the no expulsion program? More or less, they avoid expulsion at all costs.
I don't know that.
Okay. So what program did you visit?
They visited they had a discussion with some of the people like Dr. Torres Martinez in that group,
oh,
and
okay.
They discussed some of the different programs that they do.
Okay.
They do have a school, I think, that or a part of the school or something where students are go that aren't performing.
I know they have a philosophy of not expelling students unless there's no other choice. So I'm just wondering if this was for a different tier of student than that, if this was for all of them.
This is for all of them.
Okay.
This is a program that's within the school and how you deal with students. It's more of a preventative type of action. I would like to speak to alternative ed, and I'm only saying this because we're getting ready to transition. And alternative ed does impact between 50 and 75 students, you know, that are there. And I think with what alternative was set up to do, it's been successful for the students that have gone there. I am not prepared to take a big radical change this next school year at alternative ed. I mean, I would want to be honest about that, you know, up front. I think that the students that go there benefit. We don't have a high attrition rate. I think for how it was set up and how it was, you know, going to serve students, it's worked, you know, for that. But to ask me to come up with a totally different vision for next year for alternative ed for the 50 or 75 student capacity that we have there, you know, I wouldn't be prepared to do that. I would just want to be honest about that.
That would be kind of a short turnaround time, but if it is the direction of the board is something for a goal that they wish for you to be working on for the following year,
exactly.
That would certainly be included.
It takes a lot of time
it takes
to
a
think
long
about
process.
Where you want to go
it
and how you want to do it.
And you have to decide how, if there are no grants available, if there's no Impact 100 grants, if there's none of that stuff, everybody has some very fine ideas.
And it's not a large school. It doesn't have a very big capacity.
That's part of why it's effective is because they can keep an eye on each one of those students. I mean, if you're looking at the ratio, that's a phenomenal ratio for both support people and for actual teachers.
And a lot of support is provided to students, you know, social workers, student support specialists.
Yes.
I mean, there is a lot of support that we provide.
But if indeed that's something that we need to be talking about that really fast, if you want to set that for the following year as a planning process, that's something we need to talk about at some point. Yes, Ms. Simchin.
I fully support the
direction that you're going in. I just don't understand because is the restorative justice like baby think it over program where they give them a doll? What is the so you have to start from ground zero for me. I would say I would agree with the superintendent about the quick turnaround, but I think I think middle school is the perfect place. I was before she mentioned grants. Could we partner? Does the juvenile justice system have grants? And she mentioned grants. So if for clarification, you tell me, is that a program that you're saying should we consider to buy into?
Oh, yes. So, well, that's why I brought this up as a topic.
Sure.
Because I read an article and I've read information, but I myself don't know the particularities.
Okay.
And I think that if the board knew more about it and we understood what does that mean, because we can say we're doing restorative justice and just say that we're doing it but not really do it. And there's no way for us to know because, you know, we've heard about it, but what all the articles and information that I've read, it does show that it creates a very different environment and a very different view of children who misbehave, of young people who misbehave, that moves us away from punishment to rehabilitating, because the research shows that young brains are not fully developed until they're about 24, 25, yet we are so harsh with children in a way that we're not even as harsh with the adults that deal with them. But we have that tendency to be overly demanding of children and expelling them and suspending a lot of them. It's a vacation. It's a fun thing. And how can we better serve them? And again, it's not saying that we're not doing a good job and that we're not trying to serve the kids, but it's a way of re-envisioning what we do. And if we don't really understand what restorative justice is about, we don't know what we're asking for, and that's why I put it down as, you know, maybe a workshop or an hour of someone explaining it.
Okay, so because I thought maybe it was a nonprofit that was running this restorative justice program that you can, and you went to Charlotte, and so that's a little clearer for me. And I, because my personal thought is that children are making good choices and bad choices, and a bad choice at that age, especially middle school, could set them on the path. I do agree, and I'm sure we all agree. So I think that I would like to know more about it. And at that point, when we know more about it, we could decide. Again, it goes down to dollars and cents and needs and things like that. But I would definitely be. And I don't want to say that when you get to the alternative school, it's too late. But that's the preventative. But do you know what I'm saying? I would be curious in the preventative. I would be curious in the partnering up with the juvenile justice system and or grants that are out there. I would definitely want to know more. So I don't know if that's in the form of having a workshop to support what you said or just ask the superintendent to come back within 30 to 60 days with more information.
We're having a workshop for schools. So I mean, we're already talking to schools about, are you interested in implementing this? Because it is about the entire school buying into it. We need to get 80% of the people on board. That's the suggestion, you know, before you say you're going to do it. So we're moving ahead with it because we do think it's a good program, and we do think this is a good idea for particularly for middle school. So start there, you know, and do this. So I'm not asking for your permission to do that because you've already said that we need to be looking at type of things like this. Restorative justice was mentioned, and we are moving ahead.
Yes, and you were given direction that there was a board corporate. It was not a vote, but you did get direction at that workshop as to how to proceed, and you have done that. So it's a work. You're on the way. You're on the journey.
And if there's training that's taking place and you'd like to even attend that and see it, we can do that. Or if we know we're going to implement it, then bring something back to the board so we can share with you what that means.
Yes, I think that's wonderful if we do decide. And I guess here I just want to, this is one of the concerns that I have. And I heard Ms. Johnson talk about site-based management and the need to also have continuity of what the district expectations are. And I understand absolutely that you have to have buy-in from people in order to implement things. But it's one thing to say that, for example, this board understands what restorative justice is and how it can benefit our student, and this board gives direction that our school district embrace restorative justice programs for our kids versus saying that's an option and you may do it if you would like or you would not like to, because in the end, that's a different message. If we believe in rehabilitating and not punishing, and we think restorative justice will work for our kids, maybe middle school could be the pilot. We have kids in elementary school that have been expelled. We have kids in high school that are still struggling. And maybe the middle school could be a model for something that we can do as a school district. But if it is an option, there may not be a workshop on restorative justice because everybody's plates are too full, there's no money, and those children are going to continue falling through the cracks and not being served. So do you see the difference? And I don't know, I mean, I'm just giving you my opinion. I think that if the board gives direction, we expect something to happen. And we'll know what that is. But the way we're leaving it here is they may want to, they may not want to, and we may have a workshop. And that's a very different perspective. And my belief is that this board is elected and has the authority to give direction if the board so chooses. So we do have that option.
Dr. Adams, that's what she wants to speak to.
Board, I want you to all be cautious about saying you have to have this program. Any program. What you want is less discipline issues, and what you really want are fewer students being expelled from school. You want to have less discipline issues. You want you don't want more minorities targeted. You know, that is the policy part of it. One program doesn't answer everything, and you must have buy-in from the staff because it won't work if you don't. Can we get buy-in for setting goals for less of this and more, you know what I'm saying? That's what you want to look at, not a specific program, because restorative justice might be the best program for Gifford Middle, but it might not be the best program for Storm Grove. And there are other programs out there that schools can do that will reduce the number of suspensions and expulsions. So I just want you to think about that. Not a program, but if your goal is to reduce the number of suspensions or expulsions, and you set those goals, that's what I ask you to look at, and not programs.
Well, I think we're putting the cart before the horse, because you're going to, or have you already hired someone for the alternative school?
No.
Or you're still in the process, okay. So you're going to select a person, and that person's going to have a particular style and develop with you a plan for how those kids are going to be put back on track so that they can be returned to their home school. So I don't think that I want to tell you to use a particular program and then ask you to find an individual that fits with that program. I want to ask you to find the right person and then with that person come up with the program that best suits the needs of the student population. That's how I'm feeling it.
And we want to look at that preventative piece. It's the preventative piece. And trying to get this into middle school, trying to get a program like this in middle schools is a good idea. But, you know, we hear on one hand, don't put any more on our plate. On the other hand, if we're going to try and do our business different and this program could work, that's good. That's good, you know. And there are other programs like this that may be just as effective.
Well, I do think it's, and I appreciate the update that mm-hmm. you have sent folks, staff to Charlotte County, that you have, you know, taken some steps forward, that you are working, it is a work in process as we speak.
You're actively pursuing it,
but you're not actively pursuing this particular program.
We're providing training. We had it in with the principals already.
Right.
Middle schools are interested. We're going to train a core of people at the middle schools. They're going to take it back to their staff. They're going to find out if their staff is interested in implementing this in their school. And if they are, then we've got to find money and provide training and coaching. That's how that works.
would work. And as far as the ACE is concerned, and it'll be up to the board to give direction for any future changes you're looking at. But as you said, and the question was, have you hired somebody? The question is, have we hired somebody yet? So, and until it's agended and approved by us, it's still a vacancy. So, Ms. Jimenez, and I want to make sure that your request here is for a restorative justice workshop. That's what you're asking for?
Yes, and I just did want to make a comment. You know, when Dr. Adams spoke earlier, regardless of whether schools decide they want to do a program that's restorative justice-based, she said it was a set of beliefs. She said it was a philosophy. You know, a set of beliefs is how you see things, and it's a philosophy of not just solely focusing on punishment. And that's what I see before, you know, that's what I see that school districts do a lot. Not just our school district, at the national level, this is being talked about. Mm-hmm. So it's even, I don't care what program it is, but whatever we do, I would like us to be a district that views children from that lens. That's what's more important to me. It's not my place to tell you what program to do, and that's actually why I requested the workshop, because it's one thing to have that philosophy, and then here are the programs that can implement it. So, you know, that I think that that's important. Regardless of whether you do whatever program you're looking at, we need to have that mindset, and it shouldn't be optional.
Ms. Hinton?
So it's getting clear. So, because again, you know, you say we use it as a system or something, but I understand it's this philosophy, and I can support that philosophy, but I'm also with the reality of what does that mean and how do we implement? And I'm just like, I can't say it's our philosophy, and I don't care how we get the dollars or how we implement it. What I'd like to do is keep moving forward on this. That's why I'm asking, and I don't know, we're going to have a technology update on the 27th. Is it possible, because you're looking into grants and things like that we can have it in that form, where you give us a restorative justice update or workshop, or what do we call the 20 on the 27th? What are we calling the technology
update? Okay. With regard to all of the work that's been done.
What we call a technology update workshop?
Yeah, and it's at one, and it's during this forum. So could we set, you know, to give you time to? You said you were looking at. So I don't want to close the discussion. I want to keep it going. Mm-hmm. And what I'd like to do, because there is, you know, so many things that we're working on. Last night just concluded one busy session, and we're moving on to another in budget. But I want to keep it going. I want to keep the discussion. I fully support that, because in the end, besides losing a child, it ends up into the adult system of jails, which I'm very familiar with, and the cost to the taxpayer. Mm-hmm. And we've lost a soul. You know, I mean, it's a switch that, especially with anger, and we've talked about safety, I don't want a child coming into school, and we're being so supportive that we've taken a chance and they've hurt another child or an adult. So I always want to protect that situation, but I am empathetic, and I really, you know, and I have a child, and I don't say you make a mistake or you made a poor choice. I'd hate to see a child, and I would hate us to have that philosophy. So I think it's a great philosophy. How do you move from the concept into a plan and into implementation? That's yet to be seen, and I would really support asking Dr. Adams to return some information within a time period. And I don't want to, you know, nail that time to you, but I don't want it to go past 60 days. Could you get back to
me? I'll do some Googling myself. The training is going to take place and bring a report back. And then I also have something that speaks to this, because there are really a lot of things going on to help with that. But this is the first attendance magazine that was put out by the think tank group, and I'm going to give it to you because it speaks to what you're talking about right now. So, this was just put out. It's not even out yet because Dr. Torres Martinez had brought it to me.
It is.
A month
or
so ago to talk about it. And board, if you remember, we had an attendance initiative this year and talking about the importance of students being in school every day, and when they're not in school every day, these kinds of things happen that we're talking about, you know, especially as they get older. And so what this does is speak to the things that are going on this year around keeping students in school. And I just want you to take it with you. I want you to look at it. One of the things that came up the other day when we were talking is about mentoring, and it talks about some of the mentoring things that they're doing, and it has a mentoring framework here that the district is going to use. So, again, this speaks to keeping children in school, preventative types of things that they're not getting in trouble out in the community, but they're with us, that we are doing things that honor and uphold students in the school. And I think these are the kinds of things that are really relevant when we're talking about whether it's restorative justice, whether it's positive behavior support, whether it's conscious discipline, whether it's being in school every day. All of these pieces together are what makes a culture in a school that a child wants to be there and is engaged and, you know, will help them make better choices when they go out into the community. So this is for you to look at. I'm proud of the fact that this think tank group is trying to inform other people about what's going on.
Great. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Ms. Penny, for bringing that forward. So we do have some expectations that sometime over the summer we're going to have an update.
We'll find out
on the restorative justice or whatever we want to call it. But we certainly do need that.
Yes, that is what I had understood the first time around. I thought Ms. Tennis, you were asking us to direct the superintendent to use restorative justice program. That's how it sounded, but now I better understand that.
Yeah, that's changed.
I think we're fine. So,
but I'm also hearing that as we move, we're getting some training, and the board would like to know more about, well, what does that mean?
If we
have a restorative justice, what does that mean?
Yeah. Okay, Mr. McCain, you don't have anything? Yes, you do. Pass that down to Mr. McCain, if you would, please. I'm gonna be you for just a moment. Mr. McCain, you're going to announce that you're going to do your best to serve those three spots in our long list of graduation requirements. So Mr. McCain quite often says to me, just tell me where to go and I'll go, and tell me what to do and I'll go. So there are three, let me just tell you real fast, and this is Mr. McCain's report. This is his time. Both Ms. Jimenez and I have three schools apiece, and Mr. McCain has a three schools question mark. So Ms. Jimenez and I each have three graduations, and then if he can make it, there's three there for him. He's gonna get back with Ms. Stang and either say yes, I'll be there for all of them or not. I would like to thank Ms. Simchick, who signed up for six, and Ms. Disney Brombeck, who signed up for seven, and
I usually do eight.
She usually does do eight. That's her goal. That's her goal. I will say that. That has always been her goal. We only have a couple, very few. We have a very few where we have crossovers, and I appreciate you reading my little note to you that if at all possible, we would rather not do that. So I want to thank you all, and I'm going to give this back to Ms. Stang when this meeting is over. So all schools, according to where we are at this moment, are covered. Now, that allows Ms. Stang to then get back to the schools and let them know. But we forget this is a process. She has to let them know who's going to be there, even though we do the automatic confirmation and that kind of thing. So, okay? So thank you very much, Mr. McCain.
No problem.
Appreciate it. Ms. Simchick.
I'm good like that.
You don't have anything else right now? Ms. Disney, you tell me something you want to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
Chairman Johnson. This actually piggybacks on Mr. McCain's item. You love it? You love it? I'm getting very creative in my old age. And that is event. It wasn't that
you
talk
too much.
Take the diet coke away from him.
I shouldn't have given him that.
No, I do want to, and in all seriousness, I do want to talk a little bit about that automatic confirmation that we do. When you get an email and it says, I accept, regrets, or, you know, maybe, whatever, this is very important because that's what goes up onto Ms. Stang's information, and it's what's automatically put on our calendar. And in all seriousness, it is very difficult. If you walk by Ms. Dang's office and you go, oh, by the way, I'll be at so-and-so tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. She may be in the middle of something huge, and she didn't know I was going to advocate at this point, but I really am advocating for this time of year for her. This is really difficult, and we can, each one of us can take that personal responsibility and just make it a little bit easier for her. When it comes to certain things, I try to send her an email so she has something in writing, and I'm better than I used to be. I'm not nearly as bad as I used to be about doing that, walking by and saying, yeah, by the way, I will be at so-and-so. It is the expectation of this board always to be at the Vero Beach High School and Sebastian River High School graduations as a group. I mean, that's something we've always tried to do, and we try to do that when we commit to the parades. And you know, if we're not there as a group, it doesn't hold the same weight. So, but those confirmations, if you would just take a second, and I know sometimes we'll have, depending on the time of year, we'll have a whole long list of 6, 7, 8, or 9 of them. Just go through and just put accept. You don't have to have a conversation with this thing. Just click and go. Just click and go, if you would, please. So I think that would be very good. All right, Ms. Jimenez?
I just wanted to bring up this issue of customer service and the survey results. I just wanted to know if we're going to get a compilation of those results for the parents, and also I believe the staff do surveys at their schools. It will have a copy, and what's the timeline? Because I've seen it on the website, so I don't know when, you know, when that is.
Okay. They're happening at three different times. The parents went out March 31st, but they have until May 30th. Okay. And really the rationale for that is we got 16% back last year. Our goal is 30% this year, and the way we're doing it is, first of all, to put it out online, okay? And then if we don't get 30%, then they have to send it home in hard copy. So, you know, we're trying to get more input. So that one goes until May 30th. The students go into a lab, you know, in the school, and they have done theirs. They had until April 25th to do theirs. So they do it on site. And then the staff is between May 12th and May 23rd, they can go into their email in the next 2 weeks and answer that. So it will be the end of May before we have everything in, and then we'll be compiling those results. And sure, the board can get it. We can provide a compilation or analysis of that. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. Mr. McCain? Ms. Simchick? Ms. Disney? I already briefly discussed the issue on making certain that your voice is being heard, and the direction for staff. If there's an issue that is brought up, and I did bring this up earlier, that if there is an issue that's brought up and there is no other comment in support or against a particular issue, then staff is hearing that it's okay with everybody. So that silence is affirmation. So. But my last item, and Dr. Adams, actually, no. Sorry. My last item is, actually, I'm going to bring this up. I should have really spoken to you before I brought this up, and I don't think I've ever done this before to you, but there was a mention of you were working on the administrative piece of the evaluation for administrators. I mean, we settled with them, with the the teachers, and you said you were working on that. If you could give some information on that, who is working on that particular instrument, who is involved in that, you know, who's actually involved in that, and
talking about for the principals?
Yes. And what is the timeline for that? I mean, we're looking at a timeline drop dead for our teachers, but it was just a big red flag. What's our timeline drop? I mean, those two should somehow, I would think, be melding, because it's got to be the same if we're looking at administrators, and it's due soon.
Performance bonus.
Yes, the performance bonus.
Yeah. Well, theirs isn't complete until we get the school data, because just like in a teacher, now renewal, non-renewal, we can go there, but just like a teacher, you don't get the second half of their summative evaluation until you get the data from the state. It's a formula.
Go ahead, Ms. Disney.
Well, the results are going to be very interesting, but what I'm looking at, wondering about, is the criteria.
Yes.
Like how?
Yeah. How is this?
How are they being evaluated?
Yeah.
And how are they? How do they receive performance pay? So that's what I'm interested in.
And that's where I was going. Thank you.
Understanding that criteria.
Okay. The criteria is the same as for teacher effective or highly effective. Okay. Nobody's received any yet, okay? And we use the Florida there's a specific evaluation instrument that's used that was adopted last year from the state. Just like they have Marzano, we now have a principal evaluation, okay? And I'd be glad to share it with you. It's very complex.
That's what I'm interested in, and I didn't want to bring it up.
Sure.
And I really should have talked to you first, and I do apologize for that. I try never to surprise
not a problem.
You.
So one part of it is a certain percentages. It's broken down into percentages. Each part carries a certain percentage. then it's times their school VAM, and that's how it's...
Okay. Well, my question is, isn't the board to be involved in saying, approving what we're going to... be using as an evaluation for those administrators? What is the protocol, Mrs. Johnson? I'm being serious, and I'm not trying to add authority that I'm not trying to assume authority, but when you said that earlier, I thought, well, wait a minute, shouldn't we be involved somewhere in saying this is how we're
evaluating a principal?
I don't want to evaluate. I don't want to evaluate the principal.
Okay.
I want to know. If I have no authority to do this, and I'm looking at the wrong person.
Yeah.
I need to be looking at you, Ms. DeGressa. Is it the responsibility of the board, or is it within the board's authority to adopt a process? I don't want to evaluate anybody.
Mm.
To evaluate a process. What is the protocol? What is it for these evaluations to be done? Not by us. Do we have? Is there? And tell me if we don't have any authority here. But do we have a box in which we should be operating to where the board should be approving? We approve for
you approve renewals. It comes to the board.
I'm just asking. And if you're not prepared to answer that at the moment, that's fine.
My recollection of the statute, the evaluation statute that was passed, mm-hmm. covers both instructional and school-based administrators. And I always read it to be that the school board established that those processes. And you're saying the state adopted a model administrator evaluation.
Similar to, you have the Marzano for the teachers,
right?
Okay, and you have the Florida school administrator model for principals. For principals, it's not for administrators; it's for principals. Okay, school leaders,
school leaders.
So, you didn't approve or get involved in the process for Marzano and make any decisions about how a teacher was evaluated in that process, because it's pretty well established, okay? The same is true for the principals.
Okay, what I would, and I apologize, because I don't do this. I don't ask, I usually don't ask.
Apparently you do.
I don't ask questions that I don't
work this out.
That we have I think that we need some feedback.
I'll be quick, I promise.
That obviously can't be answered right now.
But what you're thinking, I'm not following you.
Can I try? I have a different question, and it's around the same thing.
Okay.
For example, we were not involved in determining how Marzano was set up. You gave us the information, all the domains, and you told us how you were doing it. We were not involved, but we did approve the percentiles and that criteria that was going to be used to evaluate teachers.
No. You didn't vote on that.
We voted on that last night. That box had,
and
we modified it.
That was
part of your evaluation.
That was a student measure and assessment.
And don't principals have some data to their evaluation also?
That was negotiated.
The principal's piece?
No, the teacher piece.
No, but I'm saying don't the principals have an equivalent? They're all just getting band scores for their schools?
No.
Okay, then maybe we need to see the document.
Because they do get a band score, which is 40% of their evaluation.
I wasn't going to argue with you on that.
Yeah.
Yes, they do get a. They do get that.
Yes.
Okay, and only because I don't have it in front of me, but it's fresh in my mind from last night, and it's 10.12.24, that statute. I thought that spelled out the process for the administrators, and that was the state statute, and I just thought we were following it for them.
Mm-hmm.
But whereas a union-based negotiation team, we had to do that last night. But I could be, so really my question would be piggybacking hers. Are you following the state, and if I'm remembering that right, are you following the state statute for administrators? Which
yes,
spelled
I
it out
I
about, and I don't have it in front of me, so I apologize,
right,
but
yeah.
It was within that statute that was there last night as one paragraph blurb, which may be what you're doing. So I am as curious as Mrs. Johnson, but I thought I had
so
seen
we need
that.
To see something,
okay.
Is what I'm saying. And then Ms. DeGresta, if you would look into that, just to give us the legal interpretation of what the statute is, so, and then if you could piggyback with Dr. Adams and get that instrument so we know. And again, I apologize to you both because I try not to do that, even though Mr. McCain says that's exactly what I'm doing. And I'm not talking over anybody anymore, which is exactly what I'm doing. I do appreciate that. Yes, Ms. DeGresta.
But the performance pay schedule for administrators will need to come to the board for approval,
yeah.
Just like any other salary schedule. That performance pay schedule,
right.
Once it's fully developed, so it's kind of like
trying to get the teachers settled because the thinking
I can
is to
understand.
Use the same.
I can understand
you
the
know
timing.
What I mean,
I'm all about the strategizing and the timing. You could not have brought that to us before, but because you mentioned it earlier. So that is the authority that we have. Okay.
All right. Stairmasters at our seats.
Oh, there you go. Spend taxpayer money.
If you don't borrow that washing.
Okay.
Hands,
okay. All right. Thank you all. And again,
nice.
And
you can get in and out a lot quicker. I'm just saying.
Stop touching anything
what
in this room.
Resolution. The resolution is that we do have authority, and
we're going to bring some information back.
However, the state has established some criteria. Ms. DeGresta is going to come up with the legal legalese that she's going to present for the statute and include Dr. Adams' instrument that became from, that was also part of it.
And the thinking was
adopted.
Is once we adopted the teacher.
I understand the strategy.
That gives us direction for administrators.
Yeah.
Okay. So what about, is there a percentage? Is the board going to have to determine a percentage that the evaluation, the scores, and that's already been determined? Okay.
That's been determined. But what you would determine, I guess, is the percent, the performance pay. How much is an evaluate? Bringing forth a recommendation of, if you're highly effective, what does that translate to
okay.
to performance pay? If you're effective, okay,
so will we
similar
be given
to
a
teachers,
set, a set dollar amount, and then we'll have to determine the, how much goes to a highly effective, how much goes to an effective
okay.
sort of thing.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And
I would bring a recommendation forward.
Yes.
Okay.
It'll be an agenda item.
Okay. But one thing I'm unsure of is who is included in that list of administrators that is eligible.
It's only school administrators, so it would be principals and assistant principals.
And that's it?
And that's it.
So why did we use the language administrators? In the document,
I think it says
like the budget document.
Oh,
why does it say administrators? Because you know what that implies to me is even district personnel.
Yeah. No, it's just school.
And so let's
school administrators.
Okay. Yeah.
School-based administrators.
Yes.
I think that's more palatable.
Yeah. Yeah. It's only school-based administrators.
Yeah. I think that's more palatable
says.
When you're
okay.
talking about
says.
Performance
okay.
pay
okay.
to see that.
All
it's
right. We knew that, and you didn't. So we'll change that.
Okay.
But that's what that means.
It's back to that.
It's
back
not
to the
performance
language
pay for anybody else other than school-based administrators
okay.
and teachers.
Okay.
And they fall under the same statute.
Okay.
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 Yeah.
All right. Ms. Disney. I asked you already. I did mine. Okay. Ms. Jimenez, square foot gardening project?
This is just on a lighter note. This is short and brief. I don't know how many of you have had an opportunity to see any of the gardens in our schools. We have them in 13 schools. There are about 90 of them. About 560 students plus are involved, and it's a partnership with our community. I had shared one of the videos with Dr. Adams to see if we can put it on our educational TV because there are interviews with our students, with our teachers, and it just shows you how much the kids appreciate this opportunity to do science, hands-on, learn about nutrition, and so on. So I have two CDs. One is the short version and one is the long version. And I would encourage you, while you're cooking or something, to or between football
whatever
games
I do.
Or whatever,
but, yeah.
if you'd like to watch them. It's just great to see our teachers and our children giving feedback.
Why don't we play it while we're waiting for the board meeting to start tonight? Why don't we just have it on?
How long
TV?
Is it? It's this one's
11 minutes.
So
11 minutes.
Can you do that?
Okay,
that's
sure.
Right.
That'd be awesome.
I like it.
Okay.
Then. Is that it?
That's it. I just wanted to show
you. Do you have another item?
I don't know. You tell me.
Do you have a comment on that?
Do I?
Sure. On the gardens?
Yes.
Sure.
Actually, a very good friend of mine, Graham Cox, is in charge of that in the Pelican. It's very early on. Of course, your friend gets, put on the school board, or everybody, my program. And they were in the schools last year, and it was funded by, I could be wrong, Home Depot. I'll say Grant. The grant ran out, and they are trying to get money. So, of course, they wanted to know about it. So, well, if you're fully funded, then, let me see. And I went round robin because I didn't know they were already in the schools. To make a long story short, I put him in contact with Ms. Roissel for the principal's meeting. I don't know if he's gotten there yet because they're already in the schools. So I'm like, wait a minute. The hard part's already done. You're already in the schools. So I'm not sure if they were looking for funding, which that's a whole different animal.
Yeah.
But that is a difficult issue with them because the grant ran
program.
Out. But it is a good program.
Wasn't this funded by Audubon? And
yes, it's the Audubon.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Which
same
was
one.
Yes,
but their grant
has
run.
It has
out.
Run out. They are working hard on that. So, hopefully it will continue. And I just saw one at Sebastian High School, mm-hmm. so I think it's great. I think that's a great place to put it tonight, so thank you.
Have you ever seen the one, the garden in Bellsmere?
No.
We have a corner lot in Bellsmere on Massachusetts and Willow. And it's a community garden project where different families invest hours and time and then reap the produce. It's beautiful. It's really done well. They put a nice fence and irrigation. It's really nice.
Highlands kids have done a great job. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of them going on.
Okay, Mr. McCain, again, do you have anything now?
No.
Ms. Emchick, do you have anything else?
No. Mm-hmm.
Ms. Disney?
No.
Okay, I have one last item before I ask Ms. Jimenez if she has the last item. I would like to apologize with all of us here. I wanted all day to do it privately, but I'm going to apologize publicly.
I've waited 5 years to hear it. Go ahead.
I need to apologize to Ms. Disney. Ms. Disney had a motion to put forward. The chair recognized her and then unrecognized her for some additional discussion last night. 20 minutes of discussion later. What I should have done was I should have recognized Ms. Disney. She should have made her motion. Hopefully there would have been a second. And the same discussion could have taken place. It was not done appropriately. Hey, I'm out of here, Sue. No, I shouldn't make light. I'm sorry. That's not appropriate. I do apologize, Ms. Disney.
No offense.
It was. I got in the car and headed home, and I thought that was... That I really messed that one up. Yes, Mr. McCain, that's one.
It wasn't near as much fun as I thought it'd be.
My take on last night was that we really all worked together to try to come through a difficult situation, and so I was not going to get the snit over procedural error when we were actually seeming to make some kind of communication headway. So I was worried about
so I'm not forgetting that.
You are absolutely
but it was the same thing could have been accomplished, but in the proper order. So I do apologize that it took 20 minutes.
Well, I'll reserve the right to get annoyed about it if it happens again under a different circumstance. Okay,
is that okay? But I am sorry, and I apologize to my fellow board members, all of you, because that's it's not something I should have done. So
mark that down.
Set my bar low on that one, so I apologize for that. Okay, committee reports. Mr. McCain. Dissension.
Mine has been canceled, so it's not that I don't have anything to report.
Okay.
I have an MPO meeting tomorrow.
Okay.
And, there's a lot going on in the community about the rail, mm-hmm. express rail. So I am certainly not taking a position with any of the extreme right or left sides that absolutely are going to make sure it doesn't happen under any circumstance, but I do want you to know that I am, when possible, going to attend the meeting of a coalition that just wants to gather information and see what impacts there are to everyone, because apparently with this economic study that was that's being done, they were actually supposed to take information from the entities that are being impacted, and not one of the entities, the city, the school district, any of us, have prepared a formal letter and submitted it for that report to say this is what it will cost us, or this is what, you know, what's going to happen. And it's not about us giving an opinion, it's just about us giving information. So I will be doing that and coming to you for information as we need it. But I did want you, if you heard in the community that I was attending a meeting, it's not to take a position, it's to be in a coalition that is saying we want to have at least to be heard. For instance, if it's going to cost us $100,000 to fix something at Gifford Middle School because of vibration issues, I want us to be heard that that's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I didn't want you all to hear from another side that I was going to be, that I was attending the meeting.
Thank you.
Okay.
Certainly.
I am curious about the mitigation and what opportunities are available to us, whether we're for it or against it, or, it's common whether we don't want it, or just the mitigation is a whole other thing. And I don't want to, through lack of exploring or saying anything, if mitigation is a 50-50, 80-20, I don't know what mitigation is. So. For the Gifford.
On the all
school.
Board?
Yeah. In particular.
Didn't we tweet, actually after the time that we did talk mm-hmm. about it, I talked to Mr. Sanders, come on up, both of you. This is regarding the old board and the mitigation, and I think that Mr. Sanders did talk to...
I actually did nothing with the mitigation. You and I played phone tag a couple of different times.
I was thinking there were no dollars available for mitigation. Where did I hear that?
Well, right now they're not offering any, but that is part of what these coalitions are going to be talking about, is what does it cost each of these entities to prepare for this, and is there any opportunity for mitigation?
And is there any need?
I mean, if we don't know what it costs us, we can't ask for anything. So that's why it's important that we are involved in all this, and not because we want to throw roadblocks up, but because we just need to be very realistic about... if something comes into your community that disrupts the traffic of the school buses, for instance, that costs us more in transportation, or that causes possible harm to a building or to disruption of the class day, we need to make them aware of it so that we at least have one on record as saying this is what would happen.
Okay.
When I say mitigation, I mean in more or less, and you see it along like I-95, those walls, mm-hmm. and it was my understanding, and it could be just, I don't know where I got the information, but there is mitigation available, but what makes it so
unrealistic is it's like a 50-50 match. So if mitigation is 100 grand, then you're paying 50, so yeah. Now it's cost us 50. And I could be I don't even have the right information. But so mitigation may be available, but out of our reach. So I don't know. But it was for soundproofing any areas, including schools.
Well, it's certainly something I can find out, do the research, but I haven't done that, so I can't speak to it.
And
that's
thank you
for
John,
not
speaking
I talked to it without having done the research. Thank you.
Always.
Appreciate
the comment. Okay, so I thought I talked to you already about it. We played phone tag on that.
We did.
Miscellaneous committee report. I don't have anything either. So Dr. Adams had two issues. One is you want to talk about the goals workshop.
Yes. You know, there's a goals workshop set for May 29th.
Can you talk into the microphone? I'm sorry.
I can't be ready. For me, May 29th is too soon. There are just so many things that I'm trying to wrap up, you know, right now and prepare for that I'm just not prepared to talk about next year yet.
Okay, board members, this is where we need some input here.
If you are, if it's okay. But
if Dr. Adams needed to go on record, and we did talk about this, she needed to go on record, she needed to request this of us. She is asking for a delay. I will ask you, how much of a delay?
Well, we have one set in June already. We had a second one set, and maybe...
Data the district.
It is superintendent goals, June the 5th at 9:30 to 11:30. That's what I have. Yeah. Right there. That bright yellow, that's all
school
board stuff.
I was thinking it was later, but
that
would be.
Is that too soon? That says June the 5th.
There's a different one on May 27th.
You don't have one on May 27th. June
it's
the 5th.
May 29th.
And we do have, that's only a week.
Is
a week going to be enough? And then the following week, we have school board meeting and we have SBA spring conference, so you know
right,
people aren't going
right.
to be available. And then the following week, you have three board members who aren't going to be here. The week of June, what is our timeline for adoption of goals?
Week of the 16th?
Yeah.
I'll be gone that week.
Hello?
Yes, there will be people.
How about the following week for the board meeting? Are you going to be gone?
The
20th. You're going to be gone?
The
24th.
Yeah, the 24th.
That's
your
my daughter's graduation.
Yes, your
that's exciting.
Are you gone for the whole week?
Yep. That's exciting. In June. June. But what's the second meeting in June?
Yes. Yeah, that was the one I requested.
June 24th.
I have a board meeting for another organization.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but you will be here the rest of that week?
I come back on the 26th. It's a
4-day
board.
Okay.
Ooh. That's a board meeting.
Friday the 27th. You're here. Friday the 27th, Mr. McCain.
I have Sunny Shores.
What month?
You have what?
I have camp.
June.
It's camp.
Camp.
Versus
camp.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Oh. And then July.
Yeah.
And then July, we're off. Summer. Dr. Adams, if you will check your calendar, you've heard we are not available from the 16th. We are not available from the 10th through the 27th. The 10th is an all-day school board meeting. We have capital and we have our preliminary budget in the morning.
No, June 3rd is our board meeting. Right?
Mm-hmm.
How about June 10th and 19th?
We have a budget workshop, and we can do it after that. Take a break, and then go into that.
We have the five-year plan.
The tenth, we have 9:30, which I just said, the budget preliminary budget. 1 o'clock is capital. Mm-hmm. Executive session we have scheduled for. Why do I have executive session?
No,
it's the first Tuesday.
It's the first Tuesday.
So we can do it after the budget.
You want to do it after 3?
We have the capital plan workshop.
Is 1 to 3.
Maybe that could be a week.
3:30.
I don't know whether they'll be ready with that.
Yeah. We don't have a board meeting that night.
All right, how about if we do 3:30, or do you want to do a board meeting time? I hate to ask staff to stay.
No,
3:30.
Give us a break.
Yeah. Okay. Do you need 2 hours or 3 hours? Previously, we had scheduled 3 hours.
And then we have another one scheduled in July, I believe.
Correct.
By the end of July. Yes. So
3:30 on the 10th.
Okay. Thank you
very much. how, what's your time frame? What, 3:30 to 5:30 or 3:30 to 5:30? 3:30 to 5:30.
I appreciate it.
You think we're going to let you off easy in 2 hours, huh? Okay.
All right, thanks.
All right, did you get that?
Thank you very much.
So the other meeting in June.
Yeah, are June 29th and June 5th.
No, May 29th.
I mean, May 29th and June 5th. So.
And June 5th.
Thank you.
I'm sorry to keep you all waiting. While
I have one more thing. This is just a heads up. Highlands Elementary is requesting a name change for their school. The procedure that we have is it will come from their SAC committee to the superintendent, and then I bring it forward to the board. But I just wanted to give you a heads up in their school of innovation and their goal to transform themselves. My suggestion to them is that they keep the name Highlands in there because they've had different things, you know, like South County and so on. So Highlands Prep, I mean, they have some ideas, so that's great. So we're going to ask them to bring it forward. But I wanted you to know that I've looked at the board rule to make sure that that's something that they can do. And they will. I would ask them to come forward to the board. And maybe even a session like this, the principal to talk to you about it before we take it officially to the board meeting.
So and I think that would be good because of our philosophy of geographical.
Yes.
Okay, that has been our philosophy.
And that's what I told the principal. So it's in the Highlands.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you for waiting.
And then the last thing is the Rosewood Loop. And we actually have it on discussion agenda tonight, okay? But we wanted to have a chance to show you first and talk about it and then give our community a chance to see it as well tonight. Mr. Sanders and Mr. Morrison went to the SAC committee, and I'll let them report on that, but they have had some preliminary meetings.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Circulating around is an aerial of the Rosewood campus with some yellow lines on it and one small dot showing Mr. McCain's home run in the league playoffs.
Right about
there. Yeah, the Verbeach High School football field, sure. And now the Rosewood Little Field.
Drop 11.
Drop 11, that's right.
Do we own the property where you allegedly got that? Football field, we didn't own the property.
That's right, I remember that.
Have your mugshot.
That's right.
You can go with one.
So, as you probably already know, but I'll make you, I'll remind everyone that we do have traffic issues on 16th Street every day. It's mainly pickup time, but a little bit on the drop-off time in the mornings as well. It's been something that's been going on for quite a while. We've put a few Band-Aids on over the years. Most recently was this past school year. We added some no-left turn lane signs in to keep the traffic from clogging up the eastbound lane. And so we managed to stack the traffic on one lane only, which made it a longer line. But it opened it up for emergency vehicles in case we had something go on at the school or in some of the neighborhoods. So we made it better, but we certainly didn't make it ideal. So we've spent some time coming up with what we think is a viable solution to get the traffic off of 16th Street. You'll see in front of you a driveway that's proposed off of 18th Street, which is the north border of the campus. We took this preliminary plan to the SAC committee and addressed it with the committee and with the principal and with some of the neighborhood people and got their input. Obviously, the first concern that was brought up was that we were taking the gridlock on 16th and putting it on 18th. But what we've shown in the traffic study is that that's not the case, that the amount of capacity we have on the newly constructed two-lane driveway would more than take all the traffic that circulates through the campus in the course of a day. So while we would increase trips in some of the neighborhood locations, we wouldn't have any cars stacking in the right-of-way. The way this would work, and it's hard to see, and I didn't even try to show it on this scale, but we would section off the existing parking lot. You'll see a little bit of work taking place. We're adding 13 additional spaces in the front or south parking lot. The traffic circulation wouldn't be able to commingle between the traffic loop and the parking. So parents would be free to come and go out of that parking loop to park, walk in, get their kids, and leave. Unlike what they have now, once the traffic starts queuing now, they don't have access into or out of that parking lot. So we've added some gates to section that off to let that parking lot be fully utilized. But what would happen is everybody that was going through the car loop would be entering off of 18th Street. There's any number of ways to get there, 40th Avenue, 41st Avenue, 39th Street, 39th Avenue, 38th Avenue, a lot of different ways coming off of State Road 60, off of 16th Street, off of 43rd Avenue. So it kind of splits the traffic up instead of concentrating it in one place. And then it brings it into 18th Street, the northeast corner of the property, and brings them up that east property line and transitions them into what is now the existing current parent pickup and drop-off loop. So it would function the same once they got into the front of the school. And as I said, we discussed this with Ms. Dillon and with the SAC. We explored a lot of different solutions. This one was the most viable. We looked at changing the buses, changing the bus loop itself and turning that into the car parent pickup. We looked at possibly creating a driveway through the baseball field. But this one came out to be the least intrusive, kind of the least expensive, and the most efficient way to do it. And I believe we got everybody on board, including the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. And a couple neighbors.
Yeah. Right.
They did have
a... Yeah. And Jeff.
I have Bob Yencho was there.
So...
I don't know. I don't know where they lived in relation to this.
Who
the
you
people
on
that showed up. Bob Yencho.
Right there.
Right there on the
right on
corner.
The corner there.
38th and 18th. He's right on the corner. Yeah.
No.
No.
38th and 18th.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right here.
Yep.
Okay.
Because the little house you see down here on the bottom. Our first house in Vera Beach for 14 years.
Okay.
So were they there?
Were they there? Probably. Was that the other one that was there?
Actually, the
because didn't you say it was where Mrs. Johnson used to live?
Yeah, right
here. A little history right back here behind, at the side of Mr. Yencho's house. That used to be a big berm, and this was not a thoroughfare until Mr. Yencho's thought he should go to the city and complain about this big berm on this dirt road that we lived on right down here. That was our first house for 14 years. So right here was this big berm, and it wasn't a thoroughfare. To get to the Little League field, you had to come around this way. So guess what the city did? They opened up our street. We're all really upset with Mr. Yencho. We're now it's paved.
So,
and there's a big ditch. That's what I wanted to tell you.
Yeah, there's a ditch.
There's a very, very significant ditch here. It runs all the way here to all the way to 16th.
Correct.
And there is a good, I will tell you, if I still lived there, I'd have no problem with this plan whatsoever.
Because there's good separation.
There's good separation, and it's up to you as to what you want to put there. So, and where the Stewarts live, right back up here, Mr. McCain, Pat and Jim, live right back up this way. There's a good separation.
My cousin was right
there. Yeah.
Are you teasing me? Of course I am. I just felt left out. You know what? You're finishing 8 years. You're going to be one of the oldsters on this group. You have to understand that. You're going to be finishing up 8 years.
I'm talking with the principal about this. She stopped by my office last week, and she said she had some parents in getting ready for next year. And they love the school, except the traffic is always coming back in the parent surveys, that the traffic situation is just the thing about that school that they just cannot get adjusted to. So we got, I think, a good turnout for the SAC committee meeting, and a lot of people and a lot of questions and suggestions on, okay, how are we going to stop skateboarders from going down that long stretch? Okay, we're going to put some speed bumps in. How about some gates here to avoid people from jumping the loop and those kinds of things? So we got some very good input.
Along the hard court, there was going to be some reinforcement.
Mm-hmm. Correct, along the hard court there, right here.
You can see the really bollards. Small yellow dots. Indicate bollards or the concrete fill pipes.
Oh, good, good.
And the buses, are they on that little loop
they're
in the back?
That's where they are now.
Yeah.
Right here.
So up front, I see you built the crosswalk. But that's my biggest concern is that people will be crossing from the parking lot to the building, and it'll be parent traffic.
It will be. And actually, we're not building that. That shows a freshening up of the existing crosswalk.
Okay.
So it'll be fresher stripes. If you were to go out there today, it's not very easy to pick out.
Yeah.
So we're making it more visible. But it's already existing.
This is right here?
That's what that little that little hatching is.
Because the covered benches are all here. They're here. That means that moving cars will be going across the crosswalk and people will be coming from the parking lot.
They will.
So that's my biggest worry. If the benches, if the kids were being picked up here, there would be natural stopping.
Which some of them are. K1 and family is towards the front, which is the west side.
So there will be, because that means it will be manned. If there's kids getting in cars,
they have a person staged right here every day at pickup. This is the 2, 3, 4, and 5 grades.
In front of the media center?
Correct.
Okay.
There's a person stationed right here all the whole time during pickup and drop off. And then right here is where K1 and family is picked up. So there is a break point.
There is where there will be a person near that crosswalk.
Correct.
So there'll be like eyes on the cars.
Correct. And they currently do that.
Okay.
Actually, from the tie-in point forward, it'll all operate exactly the same.
Oh, okay.
So the only thing we're changing is how they access that loop.
Yeah.
Is it
stabilized?
And how are you going to work when they come off of 16th? It looks like they can come down this way and drop off kids, and they can exit here or they can exit here.
We have, again, I didn't try to show them at this small of a scale, but right there will be a gate that doesn't allow access either way, and also right there, because that would be another point that they would try to circumvent the loop. So we're going to add two gates that won't allow that to take place.
And then the entry here, there's still a parking lot. There's still an entry here. There's
correct.
That entry is just to the parking lot, right?
It's just to the parking lot. It's actually two-way. Right now it's one-way, but it's a 24-foot-wide drive aisle, which lends itself to two lanes.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to stripe that and put arrows in for two-way traffic so they can enter and leave that one driveway. And you can see the hatched area to the side. They were actually adding 13 parking spaces.
So, Scott,
there's a retention pond right beside.
Yeah. So I guess the thing that I would want the board to be aware of next is what could be a possible timeline on this.
We would, if we were given direction from the board to move forward, we would build this over the summer. So we would bid it almost right away. And we would break ground in no later than the 1st of July so we could finish up the first part of August.
Okay.
It's approximately a 30-day project.
And this was part of our 5-year capital plan. Where are the funds coming for this?
We had some dollars left over from some projects and we kind of, patched it together.
Okay. Creative budgeting, is that what you're talking about?
Creative budgeting.
Creative budgeting.
And timely budgeting.
If this can, hopefully everything will align. This would be great if this was in place.
So we'll have it on discussion tonight, and then we'll bring it back for action.
Thank you for this.
The next board meeting.
Yes, Ms. Hernandez.
And do we have an approximate cost?
It's the original construction estimate before we met with the SAC was $160,000. They added a few things. The bollards were not figured in. There was some additional fencing and gates. So I'm going to tell you roughly $180,000 without having an official budget performed yet or estimate.
Well, I have jokingly said for the past 8 years almost that as soon as I'm off the board, I'm going to go and I'm going to talk. I'm going to beat down the doors of the garden club. And we need to have two more. All of the construction changes over the years. We don't have any rosewood trees out in front anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to see if we can't get them to come forward. It'll be expensive because they need to be mature trees to survive, but not before the construction. So it'll be after construction. But there were two huge specimen trees there in the front, two huge rosewood specimen trees. But it's Rosewood School, and that's what it was named for, Rosewood Road. And it was named Rosewood Road because there were rosewood trees there, and we don't have that. So
And I know that your cousin probably played. Well, I was just going to say, Matt, let's say it together. You're as old as yours. Oh, my God.
He's finally rubbed off.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm not saying I didn't learn that from earlier this minute, but wow. Wow. When you get even. Yes, Ms. Disney.
Thank you. We did receive an email from a helpful community member who was concerned that there's going to be an issue with the church parking lot right next door. Do you see that as an issue with this plan?
Not with this plan. It'll alleviate the church's problem.
That's right.
It park there now. Because what we have is this parking lot. We already have 86 places there. But only about 50 of them are usable, because by the time the people get there and stack up, you have to have already been there to use the parking lot. So now we have those plus the 13 that will be fully accessible throughout the entire day. So we won't have the parking to the extent, not during the pickup.
The sim check?
After school.
No, after school.
Do you have to get any approval from the county or MPO for the egress or ingress of that street?
We have already talked with the engineering department and the planning department of the city of Vero, and staff supports this plan. So the process that would be followed is through our interlocal agreement, the SEPTAC.
Okay.
Okay. So we're going to bring it public tonight for discussion, and then we'll move
when forward. I request it.
Okay.
When we get, if you approve this plan to move forward, then I would immediately contact SEPTAC.
Okay.
There are no trees we need to be concerned about.
We will be losing some trees, and that's one of the preliminary comments that the city planning department had, was to do the tree mitigation calculation. Right now, my numbers show we need 2 trees. I think it's going to be more. But we need to add some trees anyway.
Okay.
Is the playground by those isolated trees back there? Is that where it is?
You'll notice that in the curve, it kind of clips one of those sandy areas,
yes,
which does have some playground equipment.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But that little sandy area, as well as the one right adjacent to it, has old equipment that needs to come out. We actually had an assessment done of that just a few weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
It's old, needs to be removed, and we have a playground project moving forward this summer at Rosewood. We're going
to
do it.
SAC was very happy to hear that they were going to be playing new playground equipment.
Moved more central?
We haven't located. We're going to work with Ms. Dillon on exactly where she wants it, but most likely it would be just at the western tip of that one sandy area that's just being clipped.
Okay.
So there would be some pretty good separation between the new loop.
That's fine. I thought it was.
But you had good input, you said, with the SAC committee and the parents.
I think there were 22 people present. What was my count?
Okay. What was the radius that we did for input from the community? What was your target area again? For notification to surrounding neighbors, what was your target area, or did you just get
We just got the SAC together and notified some of the neighborhood that was active with the school.
Okay.
So we haven't done an actual neighborhood notification.
Well, I know there along 18th Street, there's not as many neighbors, but especially 40th Avenue. There's a huge. I mean, they're much closer, and there's a lot of children in that area, a lot. So I just was wondering if there was any input. That's the other side of the campus, but I didn't know what the notification was. So.
No notification.
So if they're children and they've been at school, the parents obviously should know what's going on.
Right.
So, will Ms. Dillon use any kind of communication to let parents know that this will be taking place over the summer and that kind of thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, she has asked me when this moves forward.
Right. She's waiting to hear.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Then we do have communication. Yes, Ms. Jimenez?
I just have 2 questions. With the construction, is that going to impact any summer camp or anything like that?
There is summer school there. We've already talked about that, and they feel like they can sufficiently cordon off the area that it won't be a problem.
Right, it's an isolated part of the campus.
And then my second question is, you talked about the playground project. When those projects are discussed, does shading come into the equation?
The new playground prototype that we've had designed that we're trying to put in all the schools, that it'll vary slightly because of the layout of the campuses, but for the most part we have a prototype of the equipment, and it has integral shading inside of it.
But those sails?
It's not sails. It's the hard roof that comes over the top of the common areas
itself.
Of the playground.
Yeah. Or the boundary.
But like when it fills me.
Yes.
Yes.
Does DBE have that? Nope. DBE.
DBE does have some integral shading in their playground.
And Dr. Adams, I hope it's all right. I think the board members will agree. I know I mentioned to you that when you're ready, when we can, we would like to do a tour of the Felsmere Edition and what was the other one?
Treasure Coast.
Yeah. So if we could plan that on a school board meeting day where maybe we could just run up and see those two.
Is there any furniture in there yet?
Not yet.
No, that was your last report. We said you were expecting furniture.
Right. The furniture is scheduled to arrive in Felsmere in the middle of June.
Right.
The Felsmere for Treasure Coast should be arriving at the end of this month.
Okay. Well, let's try and do the two in tandem if we can.
If you wanted to do it during a board meeting, it would be the one in June is it the 24th or something?
If we can do that, that would be great.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to drive out to Felsmere twice,
right?
Right.
No.
All the way.
No, I wouldn't. I'm glad I'm going to have to pay your gas bill. But I did ask Dr. Adams that, so I'm not surprising with anything there. So just a heads up. Okay. Thank you very much,
Thank
folks.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Thank you for your consideration on the goals discussion.
Okay, anything else to come before the board? Not hearing any? Good job.
Mr. McCain, protocol.
And these aren't square tables.
Excuse me.
These are clearly rectangles.
Square tables, you are correct.
Square tables, rectangles.